on the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech than Dr. Benjamin Carson, who, of course, electrified the nation with his address at the National Prayer Breakfast earlier this year. Dr. Carson, how are you, sir?
I'm doing extremely well, thank you.
Great.
And it's much later where I am than it is where you are.
It's much later everywhere than it is now, except Hawaii. So let me ask you, again, we're 50 years out from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and I know you very much admire the Reverend Dr. King. If he were alive today, what do you think he would think?
Well, I mean, he would think a couple of different directions. First of all, I think he would say, wow, we've made a lot of progress, because he would see, you know, black Americans doing virtually every job, university president, CEOs, president of the United States. I mean, he would say, wow, have we made strides? But on the other hand, he would look at many of our inner cities and see the incredible dropout rates, the black-on-black crime, the 73% of black babies being born out of wedlock, and see that, you know, the value system that used to be so dominant in the black community is being torn apart. And But I don't think he would just complain about it. I think he would be now campaigning to find ways to get these young ladies to have self-esteem so that they don't yield, you know, to the first guy who comes along and says, hey, you good looking mama. You know, they need to understand that, and not just blacks, but everybody in America, that you have choices. And, you know, your life, the way it turns out, is dependent upon those choices that you make. Nobody can make them for you. The opportunity still exists, but we need to bring back values. And I think that's the new civil right, bringing back values to American life.
I was going to ask you, the biggest civil rights issue in America today is?
You know, our moral decay. You know, we're turning into a different country, somebody completely foreign to what we used to be. I don't think the founders, I don't think people like Dr. King would even recognize us anymore.
I think that when you look at inner cities, and you grew up in the inner city, you grew up in Detroit, and you and your brothers, didn't you grow up in a single-parent household?
That's correct. In Detroit and Boston, you know, my parents got divorced early on, and, you know, my mother only had a third-grade education. But the thing about her is, you know, she had a difficult life. She would never become a victim. And she would never make excuses, and she would never accept excuses from us. And I think that was perhaps the most important thing she did, because if someone won't accept your excuses, then you got to find solutions.
Why do you think she was like that? Because you were surrounded by people where that wasn't the case, where they were victims, where there were excuses.
Well, it's a matter of wisdom versus knowledge. You know, you don't have to have a lot of book learning to be wise. And yeah, I just finished writing a chapter about that in my new book, Wisdom versus Knowledge. And we need to go back to helping cultivate wisdom or common sense. Common sense is something that seems to have largely left us. You know, she opened her eyes, she looked around, she saw that no one she knew that went on welfare ever came off of it. So she says, I'm not going on it. I'm going to work as much as I have to. So she would leave at 5 in the morning and come back after midnight, working 2 or 3 jobs at a time. And she recognized that, you know, that would give her control over her own life and control over our lives, and that we could move them in the direction we wanted to go rather than what somebody else had prescribed.
My guest is Dr. Benjamin Carson here on The John Carlson Show. Again, the American I most wanted to talk to on the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, because I think in many ways, Dr. Carson, you were the embodiment of what Martin Luther King was hoping could happen in this country.
And you know, I have to say, I so much appreciate, you know, Dr. King and all of those people from all races and backgrounds who put their lives on the line in order to make opportunities available for people like me who opened those doors of education with their blood and their sweat. And the sad thing is, you know, a lot of the young people today, you have to drag them through those doors. They're not beating the doors down to try to get the education. And somehow, you know, we've lost our vision. And, you know, people no longer recognize education as their ticket out. You don't have to be a victim. You're only a victim if you want to be a victim. You don't have to be. The choices are there.
You know, I wish that you were on the rostrum today at the 50th anniversary, March on Washington anniversary event. I mean, it to me is a commentary on how messed up the values are back in the nation's capital, that Al Sharpton will be speaking at the March on Washington anniversary event today, and Dr. Benjamin Carson will not be.
Yeah, I suspect that the places where Mr. Sharpton and Dr. King intersect are probably few and far between. I mean, very different philosophies.
And yet it's very depressing, because if Martin Luther King was the personification, along with Whitney Young and Bayard Rustin and others, of the civil rights movement 50 years ago, what is the personification of that movement today?
I don't know that they're...
Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, maybe there should be a different discussion. Maybe there is no such thing as a leader of the black community. There's no leader of the white community. There's no leader of the Korean community. Why should there be a leader of the black community? What we need to start stressing, I think, is personal responsibility. Everything is available to everybody now, and they get to make choices. That's how we empower people, by helping them to recognize that the person who has the most to do with what happens to you in life is you. So we each have our own personal rights struggle.
Dr. Carson, how do we get past race in this country? The preoccupation with it
I think maybe
depressing.
learning to think deeply. You know, I was asked by a reporter once why I don't talk much about race, and I said it's because I'm a neurosurgeon. And they thought that was a strange answer. And I said, you see, when I take someone to the operating room and I cut the scalp and I take off the bone flap and open the dura, I'm operating on the thing that makes that person who they are. I said, the skin doesn't make them who they are. And, you know, I appreciate it at a deeper level. And people who think deeply are not nearly as affected by superficial characteristics that don't mean anything. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to get people to think deeply, not be so terribly affected by superficial things. You know, it's the reason that, you know, we have the role models that we have. Our role models tend to be people who are flashy, who have a lot of money. Really doesn't matter what their morals are, what their lifestyle is. You know, we look at superficial things.
Well, yes, I'm thinking of the Video Music Awards and Miley Cyrus right now. your point's driven home, really.
Well, you know, I just hope I hope at some point we can wake up. You know, I feel like we're people wandering in the poppy fields in the Wizard of Oz, poppies, you know, and just not really paying attention to what's happening to the very fabric of our nation, and looking at the result of the deterioration and just saying, no big deal. You know, just like a lot of our public officials, you know, they look at a $17 trillion national debt. Yeah, it's no big deal. You know, we'll print some more money. You know, not understanding what are the implications of something like that. You know, our currency is now based on, you know, the faith and good name of the United States, no longer based on gold like it used to be before it was decoupled by FDR. And if that good name and that faith deteriorates, which it can very rapidly, we could be thrown into a situation much worse than what happened in the crash of 1929.
By the way, while we're talking about other issues, let me ask you, as a medical practitioner, what you think the impact on American healthcare will be with the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, and whether or not you think that the country can sustain that kind of reform.
Well, it's going to increase the debt dramatically. It's going to increase the number of people who are not working. You know, the number of people who are not working, who are eligible to work, has been steadily increasing. And it's reflected in something called the labor force participation rate, which is a much better gauge of what's going on economically than these monthly unemployment.
It's at a 30-year low, I believe.
It's at a 30-year low. Those other numbers can be easily manipulated. That one cannot be, and that's why you don't hear a whole lot about it, quite frankly.
That's the percentage of the adults who could be working who are working.
Right. And what we're finding are increasing numbers of people who simply feel that it's appropriate to sustain themselves on public assistance. And in fact, in several states, you can make more on public assistance than you can with a minimum wage job. So in a situation like that, why would you go out and get a job? But what people don't realize, of course, is when you go out and get that job, you also get skills that are marketable, and you expose yourselves to opportunities, and you can move up. And that seems to be what is missing now, you know, that drive, that can-do attitude, you know, that ambition to move up. Now it's just a matter of sustain me, let me be safe. We, the American people, are willing to give up all kinds of things for security of a paycheck, for, you know, security from terrorists, things like this, and we have much better options.
You're coming to Seattle here in about a week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being in Seattle. I have a lot of friends in Seattle.
Washington Policy Center, looking forward to hosting you. If people want more information, they should go to washingtonpolicy.org. My last question is, if there is any one change you could make right now in the United States, Dr. Benjamin Carson, what would it be?
I would probably impose term limits on our representatives because, you know, they've become distant from the cares of their constituents, and it's not working.
When's this book coming out, Wisdom Versus Knowledge? I love the title.
Well, actually, the name of the book is One Nation, and it will be coming out the beginning of 2014. And to help the people of America realize that we're not each other's enemies. And the real enemies are those people who try to drive wedges in every place that they possibly can to keep us divided in order that they can control. They're like puppet masters.
That is a book this country badly needs. I can't wait to see it. Dr. Carson's previous books, America the Beautiful, Rediscovering What Made This Nation Great, available in paperback, and, of course, his previous bestseller, Gifted Hands. I really want to appreciate you taking the time to be with me. Looking forward to seeing you next week, sir.
It'll be my pleasure. You take care now.
All right. That's Dr. Benjamin Carson joining me here on the John Carlson Show on the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech.